accession number 28147, real 5.
How many people?
You'll have to come here, Carol, yeah, I can't hear you.
How many men do you think were on that train? How many men do you think were on that train?
What?
The train that brought you back to England, or took you to Le Havre. How many men do you think, injured men, were on that train?
On the train? How many on the train?
Yes.
I couldn't say.
Were there hundreds? There
was four to a carriage, or the wards as they called them, and I suppose there was, might have been a dozen or more of those. And then how many there was stretcher cases, I've got no idea, because I never got down there at all. You wouldn't have been allowed to go through there at all.
No.
In fact, I never went out of the compartment I was in.
Mm.
Not to go out there like that. Anyway, so it was the only time any of us went out of that was to go to the toilet. Exactly how many there was, I've got no idea whatever. I couldn't say. All I know is they are the most wonderful trains that I ever saw or ever had the pleasure of riding in.
I wonder what they did with those.
The upholstery in there, it was marvellous. You simply sank into it, just like jumping into a feather bed.
Yeah. And they were
really beautiful.
Purpose-built.
They
were purpose-built carriages, were they? They specially built.
That was all specially built.
Yeah.
The whole train, the engine and everything was specially built in England. I don't know how many trains there were. But I can only say one that I was on.
Yes.
And they were really wonderful trains. And undoubtedly, those drivers and that, the way when that started, just slid it away just like that.
Yeah.
You never felt a jerk or anything else.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, they built everything better that long ago. The babies' prams and everything were, But you see, steel was better. All the springing, I think, was better.
Yeah. They're so much advanced,
aren't they? Not in anything, really. They think we are living in a different world, but it's not so good.
Something, yes. But you're living in your throwaway age now, aren't you? Where you don't build things to last for so long now that you did.
Well, I think we're beginning to go full cycle on that.
Possibly, yes.
I think things will now begin to minister this recycle.
Is there anything else? That's all. I must have done the job very well.
Thank you, Will.
You're welcome. I hope you've all been interested.
Yes.
And that's all I hope. As I told Carol when we was at Willingham, if I ever thought that you'd all lost interest, I would pack it up straight away. And while you're interested, I'm quite willing to carry on until the end. And there's one thing, as I told you, I think, if at the end of these talks you want to know what I think happened in Swarburn Redoubt which blotted it out of my mind. I'm quite willing to tell you then, because that would not be, it's not by the truth that I, as I'm all the other is absolutely truth. That would, because what happened in there, it must have been pretty terrible. I'm pretty certain I know what happened, because I'd had my orders of what to do, and I'm certain that I would carry out those orders to the full. And that's that. But I don't remember whether I did, whether I didn't, or what, but I'm pretty certain I did. So at the end, and I tell you, can't be long now before these talks end. There is a little bit the time that I was at Portsmouth, Dublin, and then sent out to France again, and the different things that happened right to the time when it will end, to the time when I was taken prisoner. But then at that time, if any of you would like to know what I think happened to me down in Swarburn Redoubt, that's the time then I will tell you, because that won't interfere with this. Thank you all. Well, friends, the last time I spoke to you, I left off where I was in convalescence at West Byfleet. I'll now carry on from there. At the end of my convalescence, I was taken back to Richmond Hospital, where I was fitted up with a brand new uniform and fitted all up as every soldier should be. I was then given 10 days sick leave, and I went home and spent that there. At the end of that, I had to report to Victoria Barracks, Portsmouth, at 10 o'clock. That's 10 o'clock in the evening, the night. Well, at that time, at the end of my leave, I caught the train to Portsmouth. When I got to Portsmouth, that wanted 5 minutes to 10. That allowed me 5 minutes to get into barracks. I didn't know where Victoria Barracks was. I'd never been to Portsmouth in my life. So I thought I'll take a taxi. That's what I did. And as it drew up at the gates of the barracks, the provost sergeant, he was standing outside the barrack gates. And when he saw this taxi draw up, he rushed across the pavement to open the door of the taxi. Then he saw that was me. So he turned round and gradually walked back. The taxi driver and myself, we both laughed to kill ourselves. He thought it was one of the officers turned up. Well, I reported in and I was told which barrack room I was to go to. Well, a few days after that, the company quartermaster sergeant had an office just at the end of our barrack room. Yeah, outside the barrack room, but it was at the end. And this morning, I was just cleaning up. When he shouted, come to his door, and shouted, Bolter! Bolter! I told myself, what deuce have I done wrong? So I went, tapped on his door. And I said, you called me? He said, of course I called you. He said, I've just got your pay book here. He said, in that, that states that you held the post of Lance Corporal in France, and that you retired at your own returned to the ranks at your own request. I said, that's quite correct. But I said, no need to ask me why, because I'm not intending to tell you. He said, I'm not going to ask you why. He said, what I've got you here for, will you take it again? I didn't know what to answer. I wondered whether I should or whether I shouldn't. At any rate, I said, all right, I'll take it. And he said, I'm glad you've said that. I said, oh, why? He said, I haven't got another Lance Corporal in the place. And he said, I wanted one for Audley Corporal. So that sounds to me, I said, as if I'm going to be permanent Audley Corporal. He says, you will until there's another one come. Oh, I said, well, I wouldn't have took it if I'd have known. I said, I'll stand by my word. He said, well, you can go to CO's order this morning, he said. And that will go through then. And then you go to the tailor's and he'll show you stripes on. And then he said, you carry on from there. He said, you know the ropes. I've got no need to tell you what you've got to do, he said. No, it's up to you. And that was that. Well, I suppose about 3 or 4 weeks after that, there was another Lance Corporal come off of leave. And so I got out of Audley Corporal for a bit. But then the next job I got, I was to go to Fort Goma. That is just outside Gosport. You had to go by ferry from Portsmouth to Gosport and then go to the fort just the other inside the fort. If any of you have been there, you've probably walked on the top of Fort Goma, for it's underground and you wouldn't know it was there. There are two forts there, Fort Goma and Fort Nelson. I never went to Fort Nelson, but I was placed in charge of the quarter guard at Fort Goma. That is the guard just on the entrance to the fort. I have been asked if I ever knew anything about the fort. I said, I don't know anything about it. I said, I wasn't allowed to go walking about. I said, I was simply in charge of the guard. Well, about 2 o'clock one morning, the phone bell rang. And I answered it, and I said, is that Corporal Bolter? I said, yes. I said, you're to go into Gosport and find the major. He was living out with his wife somewhere in Gosport. I said, you're to find him and tell him it's to report back there at headquarters as soon as possible. I said, what road's he in? They told me the road. I said, do you know, how do you get to it? Whereabouts is it? They said, we don't know. I said, no, nor do I. And I said, well, what's the number of the road or the name? They said, we don't know. I said, nor do I, do I? I said, makes no difference. You've got to go down there and find him. What a nice job. Walked down in Gosport in the dead of night, where you knew the name and everything, and that's all you got to know. But I was on orders to go and find it, like a needle in a haystack. And I left a senior private in charge there, and I went, and as luck would have it, I walked into a policeman. Else you might say he walked into me, because he caught hold of me and said, where are you going? And I told him, I said, did he know where this road was? He says, yes, he said, it's on my beat. I'll take you to it. I thought, well, that's a bit of good luck, at any rate. Well, we got to this road, and he said, what number are you going to got? I said, I haven't got a number. I said, I've just got to find out which one he's in. So he said, well, I'll be off. I said, aren't you going to stop? I said, might be trouble here. He said, no, I'm not. He said, I'm not walking into trouble either. He said, you carry on. So after he'd gone, I knocked on the door. The man put his head out of the window. He said, what do you want? I forget the name of the major now. I said, well, does Major so-and-so live here? He says, no. And I let you to know. He said, you don't come knocking people up in the middle of the night. He called me everything but a Christian. I thought, so I said, have another go. I knocked on another door. The same thing happened. And then there was so much rail going on, I could see the lights going up all along the room where the people had been woken. Then I knocked to the next one, and as luck would have it, I'd got the right one. And he said, righto, I'll get dressed and go. He said, you better get over back down to the fort and take over. So I went back. Well, then, wasn't only a few days after that I was recalled, and the chaps with me, back to Portsmouth. And I suppose that a week after that, we were all ordered to pack up, and we put on a train at Portsmouth. We didn't know where we were going or anything else. And away we went. At the end of that train journey, we'd arrived at Hollywood. And we cut off the train, we put on a ship, and went over the Irish Sea. I didn't know it was the Irish Sea, I didn't know where we were. And we went, and when we got off, we were at Dublin. And one of the doctors called there, he says, no need for you chaps to have come now, and everything is quiet. I suppose he was referring to the 1916 rebellion. Well, then, we were there. But you wasn't allowed to go out only every other night. Half the battalion had to be was on alert in case of trouble. The other half could go out. Well, I'd picked up all that time with a friend, and the funny thing, all the friends I seemed to pick up with, they were all named Jack. And this one wasn't Jack Noves, it was Jack Petherick. And they asked for volunteers who would take a signalling course. And I didn't think they would allow me, well, Ben's I've got a stripe. So I said, can I volunteer? And they said, yes, if you like, Corporal, you can volunteer. I said, righto. I said, put me down. That was a 3 month course. And I thought to myself, 3 months. That'll be 3 months I shan't have to go back to France. See, I was looking after number one. Well, at the end, this chap, friend of mine, he said to me one day, one Friday night afternoon, he said, I'm going on leave. I said, you going on for leave? He says, yes, I've got 7 days leave. Well, I didn't ask him how he got it or anything, and away he went. At the end of his 7 days, well, he had 2 days extension. At the end of his time, he came back, and I was talking to him. I said, Jack, how the deuce did you get leave? I said, as far as I can see, there's no one else ever got leave. He says, there's ways and means, you know. I said, well, it's how it seems. He said, I gave the sergeant 5 bob, and he got me leave. Oh, so I thought myself after that a day or two, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So I said to her, Sergeant, I said, I would like to get leave, you know, I've got something on at home. I said, I would like to get leave. Well, he said, I think it's possible. I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind paying a 5 bob for anyone. The next day, came to me and says, you're going on leave on Friday. I tell you, you can do anything with a little bit of money. And I went on leave on Friday. And the quartermaster sergeant said to me, he said, when you get home, he says, just send a telegram after a day, ask him for an extension of leave. Now, when I got home, I got home on Saturday. On the Monday, I sent a telegram asking for extension, family affairs. I came back, 2 days extension granted. So instead of having to get back to Dublin on the Friday, I didn't have to get back until the Sunday. Well, things carried on, and it came to the examinations on the signalling. They were all taken separately. The practical work I gained 100%. And then on the written work, I got that. And when I was just going to start, the instructor come and whisper to me, he said, "Bill, make a good job of that." He said, "If you come out with a good percentage," he said, "you're down to go to Dunstable on a 3 months instructor's course." Well, then, that was, I did that, and I didn't know the result or anything of that, to that. But then I had to go in front of an officer for all the questions of what he liked to put. And when I was going in, the instructor said to me, he said, "Whatever you do, don't say you don't know. Make some answer, whatever it is." Well, all the questions I got were no trouble to me at all. Until he came, and there was a square box on his desk. And he said to me, "What's this?" And I looked around it and I thought, "Well, I can't see what it is." And I thought of what the instructor said, "Don't say you don't know." So I said, "Well, what I can see of it, it's a box." And he certainly laughed, "Will kill himself." He said, "Haven't you got one of these at Portobello Barracks?" I said, "No, do I? I've never seen it." So then he pressed a button, and that flew over. "Now what is it?" he said. I said, "I know what it is now." I said, "It's a four-line exchange." But I said, "I've never seen it before." I lost 2% on that. But my name went through to Brigade Headquarters to go to Dunstable. Unfortunately for me, before that happened, the Germans had made a vast attack out in France. Although we didn't know it, but that was a fact. And undoubtedly, the country was in trouble. The order came from the War Office that every ex-soldiers who had already been to France, I can't think of the other word now, they were all in the United Kingdom, they were all to be sent, ex-expeditionary men. They were all to be sent straight away to France without leave or anything. There was just time for us to go through the gas chambers to test our gas masks. And we were off. When we marched from Portobello Barracks to the docks, you'd hardly believe it, but all down the road were large Union Jacks hanging out of the windows, and people wishing us good luck. And we were singing, "Wipe the tear, baby dear, from your eye." We were put on the train, we put on the boat, and away we went. We went across to Holyhead. At Holyhead, they put us on the train, and we were all locked in. They definitely didn't think we was going to bolt, I suppose. We went from Holyhead straight through to Southampton, straight off the train onto the boat, and away we went and landed at Belong. Off of that onto a train at Belong, and as we passed through